Welcome to Spaghetti Launcher, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I am Kyle.
I am Ethan. On today's episode, we will be discussing megastructures, the giant buildings, very common in sci-fi more so than fantasy.
Yeah.
But any gigantic creature-made structure.
Creature-made structure. I'm about to say, is this living in the dead gods again?
No, that's megafauna. Megafauna.
Yeah. It is a...
Which would be another great episode.
Yeah. There are megastructures in our world. You can attest that...
China. Burj Khalifa.
Is Versailles. Khalifa. That's a megastructure. I think so. Because it's a palace that is massive. I've never actually been to Versailles, so I can't actually...
I haven't either.
I was thinking about it. I think the sarcophagus at Chernobyl is a megastructure. What do you think about that? It's a massive structure built by people for a very specific purpose. And when I look at the images, I'm like, that would be really imposing to see from afar.
Sure.
Because the point of it, of a megastructure often in like Earth's history, mm-hmm. and I think in a lot of cases, is to impress, to awe you, to humble you before it. You know?
Penis. Like,
penis?
Penis envy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's penis envy. In sci-fi, I think it's often more practical. It's a megastructure. This is just a place to live. It's like we created a world in space out of material. We made a little ring world or whatever.
Right.
Or the Halo rings are a megastructure. The mass relays in mm-hmm. Mass Effect.
Death Star, once again.
Dyson Sphere.
Dyson Sphere.
Probably the most famous. Because they're very theoretical oftentimes. It's like megastructures are like a theory
Correct.
That people play with.
Well, because the physics often prohibits them from existing
mm-hmm.
without collapsing under their own weight or the practicality of where, you know, there was a video I saw somewhere that said like 99% of the mass in our solar system is in the star. 99% of the mass in our solar system is in the sun. So where would you get enough mass to build a Dyson sphere around the sun?
Oh, I like that. That's a good point.
Something like that, right? Like, so you do have to think about these things, but I think it's more fun if you just hand wave it.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't give a shit and it's fun.
Yeah.
And Ringworld is cool. And I love megastructures. I think I remember watching the, what's it called? Blade Runner 2049. Mm-hmm. And in the opening shot by Denis Villeneuve, you see the mega corporation's big pyramid.
Yeah. Which is also building. In Blade Runner, the original.
Is it? I forget. I don't remember. I just remember being so taken aback by that shot.
And Cyberpunk has some good ones. Yeah.
By it. They're mostly corporate buildings in Cyberpunk, but
that's fine. Everything's corporate in Cyberpunk.
Or they're Ecumenopolis, whatever the entire planet that's an entire city.
Yeah.
Like Coruscant, which I am distinguishing from a megastructure.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm coming into this with it is a discrete spot. It is small. It's small enough to navigate and to be like to take in the breadth of it for the most part.
I disagree.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I disagree with my own caveat. But I'm thinking, because I'm trying to put it, like, I'm thinking so much about, like, Earth's approach to megastructures. There's this famed French architect, Boulay. Who made, like, he did a lot of paper architecture, which is, like, the stuff that no one's ever going to build.
Mm-hmm.
And the famous one that he did was the Cenotaph, which was this, theoretical memorial for Isaac Newton. It was a giant sphere built above ground with the intention to make, because you would enter like underground into the sphere and there's no windows. It's just like a huge stone sphere. And it was supposed to make it feel like you were in like the vast openness of space with like a night sky around you. But they like did it in the inverse. So if it was night outside, you would go inside and it would be day and they had a massive hanging lamp. If it was day outside, it would be night when you went in.
That's cool.
And it was...
This is not the guy I was thinking of. I had not heard of this. This is a very cool idea.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Look up the Cenotaph or just Architect Boulay. But, like, he made a lot of these types of buildings that were, like, like he designed a Colosseum that was supposed to go where the Arc de Triomphe is now. This like 300,000 seater Colosseum to do French like festivals and a big courthouse, and he made all these ideas for these megastructures that were never going to be built.
Right.
The Nazis had plenty of megastructures ideas in their mind and like tried to design a bunch of those.
Yeah. A lot of brutalist architecture had megastructures in mind, I think.
Yeah. So like real world,
gigantic Legos.
Real world humans have done stuff that is comparable and usually with a very like imperialist mindset. Cause I feel like megastructures they are so imperialist in their like intention. Because they're projecting power.
I think they're imperialist in their intention, their motivation, and also in their execution, because you need control of a lot of resources, including humans, to make them.
And a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, so are the Great Pyramids?
I think I would call them for the time they were.
I think it's if we knew the purpose.
They're tombs.
Are they, though? Because isn't that like the whole debate that they're not sure if they were actually tombs or not?
I thought it was pretty decided that they were tombs. I could be wrong. But
I could be wrong. I've never been all that chuffed by them. I'm like, yeah, they're...
Good use of chuffed.
Thank you. Me and my British slang.
You're whelmed.
I'm whelmed. Yeah. Especially because I love seeing the photos of people turning the camera and being like, well, Cairo's right here. Yeah, and you're like, ah, shit, that's not exciting.
It's my absolute favorite.
Yeah. But anyway, should we give our teases here?
Yeah.
All right. What's your tease?
Shovel.
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 Just a single shovel.
Shovel.
Okay.
What you got?
The Congregated Dead.
I love a mass grave. That was a weird sentence. Please cut that out.
I don't want to because of how quickly you said I that was weird. Mass grave. But then you so quickly were like, cut that out. That was terrible. I feel like if we leave it in with the don't like that, it does kind of work.
Maybe.
I'll listen to it.
Maybe. I defer to you.
All right. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Kick us off.
Kicking us off. Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball Z. Ever since his death, I've been like just going back and thinking about Dragon Ball Z a lot and like revisiting the world. And there's this wonderful video from Overly Sarcastic Productions
about who you love,
who I love. Fantastic channel. You should check it out if you haven't done so already. They do a really beautiful breakdown and analysis of the myth of the Super Saiyan and how it shows up. It's so well done. Anyway, I got locked into this idea of like, there's the Warlord Frieza, you know, one of the main bad guys in the series. And he at one point is the head, his organization. It's called, I think it might, I've lived in DC too long. Cause all that's coming to my head is World Trade Organization, which it is not that, but it is a business that engages in global commercial real estate. And by that, I mean, they are planetary real estate moguls. They buy and sell planets. And okay. I started thinking, like, all right, if you could buy a planet, right? Which is...
Big if,
right? What if you found a planet that was... You're out there in space. You find a planet that's made entirely of diamond. What you gonna do, right? Like, or entirely of gold, or entirely of some valuable resource. What you would do in this theoretical situation is you would call in, for lack of a better name, let's just call it the Hephaestus, which is a gigantic cage.
Okay.
It is flown in and completely encloses around the planet. Uh-huh. It is adaptable in size, you know, so it has, limbs that can extend like a fire ladder, you know. Obviously there's an upper limit, but you know, maybe it's modular also, so that you can bring it in and it can like connect around entire planets.
Okay.
Encloses it completely like a Dyson sphere, but then begins to mine and strip away all of the resources in the planet until there is physically literally nothing left.
Okay.
And it categorizes them out, processes them for further use by some other entity, planet, ship, organization, enterprise, whatever. And then I love the visual of it opening up around what the planet used to be, and there is nothing there but empty space.
So it's a strip miner.
It's a strip miner.
It's a giant strip miner. I think it's really cool, the idea that it is, it's removing literally everything.
Literally everything. So it's not like leaving behind like the dead husk of a planet.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
it is.
It's all, the it core is gone.
It's like when you take a tree and you put it through one of those, the limb shredders, or like the tree shredders, where like they just spit out a bunch of sawdust and there's no tree left.
There's no tree. Well, I got the idea, and when I said shovel earlier, I meant to say spade. Because I was thinking about, I did landscaping for a while, and there's this cool thing called a tree spade, which is a machine that comes in, it surrounds a tree, then drives down these big spade-like things under a tree, severing all the roots, and lifts the whole tree up.
Yeah.
And then moves the tree.
Yeah.
And I saw that work once. I was like, well, I'm 18. That's one of the cooler things I've seen. Never seen that before.
That is pretty cool.
And it was sort of inspired by that.
Well, and it's a thing where top line notes. One, I'm assuming that whatever the mechanisms of the mining, if you're mining a diamond planet, you need to have diamond picks or lasers. Stronger. Yeah, like it needs to be strong enough to actually.
Or a chemical reaction that breaks it down. Maybe they discovered a universal solvent and it just like sprays it down onto it. And
yeah, which works pretty well with having it be like a Dyson sphere-esque, encircling. Mm-hmm. So whatever the mechanism is, it has to be strong enough to actually break down whatever the material is. And to like break down like the core of a planet. It's like, how does it, and maybe
it strong enough to withstand that?
And how is it, does it cool it enough that it can? And maybe it just takes more time where they like let it cool because it's now like independent of anything else. It's just kind of floating in space and it's cooling because of that. I don't know. But then also thinking about, it is pretty cool, the idea that there is no trace. And so you can have this extractive economy actor that nobody can really like know that they're doing it, because you can do this entirely in secret as long as you're like, as long as it's enough out of the way, and if people don't pass by, they don't know that you removed a planet,
because if there's cut off comms in advance. I mean, you could theoretically invade the planet and dismantle its defense systems and then do it fair enough. Or maybe,
but if
let me rename it, it's not going to be called Hephaestus. I'm going to call this thing Gluttony 2.
Yeah.
And I like the idea because it means there was a Gluttony 1.
Yeah.
And either where is it or what happened to it?
Yeah.
So Gluttony 2, maybe it's also an armed battleship. And it, you know, sort of like the Borg cube. I don't know.
I think it's cooler if it's not a battleship.
I like it better if it's like just a tool. Just like a tool of industry.
I think it's cool to remove the militarism of it.
Yeah.
I think it's cool if it is... Because it's I'm trying to figure out that middle ground where it's not like they're evil capitalists destroying people's lives. They are mining planets that are uninhabited because they're too much.
Sure.
They're too rough and too chock full of these materials, and they've like just perfected mining to a degree.
Or there's just no life on them, so it costs nothing. You're not affecting.
I think
it's a little cosmically nihilist. It's also a little Galactus from the Marvel world, where, you know, he's the world eater and he comes and he strips. That's why he has the Silver Surfer, who's his herald, to go out and find quote unquote suitable planets. But they have to have enough life because it sustains his life. This removes that element because it's just like, it's just raw materials.
Yeah.
It's like we were just talking about Mass Effect, you know, in Mass Effect 2, there's the planetary mining, like side game. Where you have to go around to each planet and mine all the resources that you need to craft new items. It's sort of like that.
Yeah, except for you've removed the planet from the board entirely. And
that was the part that I like, because I got stuck on the visual of it opening and there being nothing left.
Yeah. I'm really stuck on ownership of this, because I'm just trying to think about, like, you have the few options. Mm-hmm. It is the mining company who is just enterprising capitalists trying to get a bunch of money. You have the military option that you can do, which like is then tied to like an imperial power who's just expanding and needs the resources.
Sure.
You've got the the supernatural being, you have the Galactus, the super powerful person who needs it for themselves, and like is using the resources to fuel themselves or something. And then what else is there? Like, I feel like there is a unique fourth option we can go for here.
So number one, it's not the World Trade Organization in Dragon Ball Z, it's the Planet Trade Organization. So okay. I wasn't terribly far off.
Okay.
That's Frieza's evil company. Let's take it a little bit.
Ooh, I have an idea.
Speak now.
I'm going to blend it into Megafauna.
Okay.
And say that it is not a particularly sentient being doing this because they want the power. It is a Chai Halud.
Mm.
It is a giant like creature that does this naturally. And maybe, okay, here's an idea. They do this because these planets exist in this world enough that they have become a problem because their density is fucking with gravitational pulls elsewhere. So they're messing with like a solar system. So like take a Mass Effect size galaxy.
Mm.
There are enough planets, there's enough stars that they're interconnected and they know what's going on enough. And these planets are creating disruptions for everybody. So then they are like removing it to get it out of the system so it's no longer a problem.
So let's create a, because civilization would not have, very unlikely to have survived and thrived to the point to make such a thing.
Yeah.
In a world where there are enough gravity destabilizing planets
to exist. Or more, it's like that solar system is not habitable right now because of this thing.
If you remove it, then you open it up. And you just, it's sort of like the territory expansion we're built, you know, like deforestation, we're blowing up mountains to make railways.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. The other thing is that you could say maybe there was a solar system with a Dyson sphere that ate its own sun, that like depleted the sun.
Uh-huh.
And without the sun at its core to keep the planets in place, the gravity got all whacked out of space.
And now these planets are creating problems elsewhere.
Or they're just, you know, maybe planets are going to collide with each other because the gravity is gone and the orbits are all off. And like, right. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
You make this thing to go and... As a defense mechanism, you basically repurpose the Dyson sphere.
Yeah, I like that. All right, so let's say the Dyson sphere thing was done on a solar system that was big, like a lot of planets. Mm. We're talking 50.
Sure.
And a majority of those are big enough to be a problem. And after the Dyson sphere played out, which they did that for some reason that was, turns out, ill-advised. And it's been...
Classic hubris.
And it's been a long time since they did that. But those planets drifted.
Mm.
And they are uninhabited planets.
Yeah.
But they are now debris floating into other systems.
It's a planet-sized asteroid field.
And it's been... But the asteroid field, they're not a field anymore. They have all drifted separately into different directions. They're all entering other solar systems. And now they're moving really slowly, but they are a slow-moving threat that is becoming a threat. So then it's been 100 years since the Dyson Sphere incident. And now everyone's like, shit, we got to like... And then they repurpose the Dyson Sphere. They like remove it.
Right,
and they're like, whoa, okay, let's make this
fix this. Yeah.
Let's make this into like a mining thing or like a shredder and shred these planets and get them out of the way.
Gluttony
and they're moving it around. Yeah.
Gluttony 2.
Gluttony 1, they tried to do it. They tried to make a new thing. In Gluttony 2, they just said, just take the old Dyson Sphere.
Or maybe flip it. Maybe Gluttony 1, they just tried to redo the Dyson Sphere and it worked for a little while, but it was old tech. And so they had to redo it. So they made Gluttony 2.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like it's. I love. I mean, you know me. I do think we should really do an episode on megafauna because I love your idea of the giant space worm. I also love the Netflix Voltron series does a lot with megafauna where they have planet sized creatures that I think are cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Very Dune inspired, but lost my train of thought.
All right.
But yeah, anyway, the gluttony, the mobile mine, the mobile, like the mobile world eater. I wanted it to be distinct from Galactus because I didn't want it to be about like a sentient being.
Yeah, it's the material cosmic judge. Itself.
It's just the material itself, and it is also completely gone. Everything is
it's
left a void. Yeah.
All right.
Talk to me about. I forgot your words. It's early.
The congregated dead.
Yeah, I love a mass grave.
It is. It is a less a mass grave, more of a mass mausoleum. And
dope.
I was inspired by the idea of it being a memorial. And then I was like, you know, mausoleums are, you know, relatively common, but, and like you have crypts, you have places where you bury the dead together in a, with like funeral rites, not in the mass grave way of like, this is, we're honoring the dead. Mm-hmm. And I figured, well, what if, how do you make, if you make that into a mega structure, you make it into such a big mausoleum, it's for all of the dead.
Is it to death itself?
No.
No.
It is for the dead. Mm. It isn't necessarily honoring a god. It is honoring funeral rites as a process. It's honoring the dead who've come before, whatever. Like the cultural implications of it are significant, but it isn't necessarily about religion. It's just about the dead. Mm-hmm. And they don't really respect other religions' funeral rites, because the key component of this is it's an empire, it's a country. They bury everybody who dies in their land goes to this mausoleum. Like it's in the capital or it's in a separate
spot. It's a unipolar thing.
It's everybody, like they bring all their dead to here to be buried together because they believe that all the souls of the world should pass through one portal. But critically, they bury their enemies dead there. If they're in a battle, they deny you funeral rites, your funeral rites, because they give your dead their funeral rites. They will take them and bring them back to the mausoleum and lay them to rest there. And you are welcome to come visit them, but this is where they lay.
That got my wheels spinning. So
yeah, that's the crux of
this.
But
okay. That. Sorry. So I'm going to word vomit for a little bit, and then we're going to come up with ideas. We're going to forge the idea out of it, right?
Okay.
So basically what I'm seeing is that that cultural practice is incumbent to your world.
Yeah.
Every single region... Empire.
No, no, just, not the just world. Wait, just the
just
one.
Wait, just wait. Just wait. Okay, just wait. Okay, because okay. I'm getting there. Okay.
Go.
So that is a culture that everyone does. Prisoners of war or enemies that are killed by you in war are brought back to your home and you bury them according to the rites of your people. So if you have country A and country B that are at war, country B soldiers that are killed by country A are taken to country A and buried according to the funeral rites of country A. Country A soldiers that are killed by country B are taken back to country B and buried according to the.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
The mausoleum, the megastructure of the mausoleum is created because this country is so successful at war that it is evidence of their military might. It is, yes, a mausoleum, but it is also, because everyone does it, it is also an intimidation tactic.
Yeah, they're
it is,
saying, we need more space because we're doing this too much.
We've done it too much. And so you just keep expanding the mausoleum, almost like a shell world, right? Which is like where you just start building layers and layers of artificial world around each other. But it's like that. And so other countries might have big mausoleums, but
this the mega mausoleum
is like, it's like the Sadokar in Dune. If the Sadokar had a mausoleum.
Yeah.
Right.
I like it.
You see how that makes sense?
Yeah. I like where you took that. I think that's a cool idea. And let's take that idea. And then I'm also going to pitch a different version of it, which is the way that I was initially envisioning it. But like, I think this is super valid too, is that it's just like, everybody has different funeral rites around the world. Yeah. And then there's country A has this funeral rite. And country
Let's just name it Nyx.
Nyx?
NYX. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Because you death,
like
dark.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. All right. So then, but then Nyx is growing in power.
Right.
They are becoming an empire. They're expanding. They're doing this. And then where you add in a little bit extra oomph is that they are removing your dead
and reburying them?
And putting them in the mausoleum. They are.
You can't see this. We're fist pumping right now because that's a dope idea.
The
reburying is awesome.
Because
that's great.
That adds such a fucked up dimension to it. And
but such a desecration.
But they're doing it in a way where they don't see it as desecration. They are respecting the body when they remove it.
No, they don't see it as desecration, but you would see it as desecration. Yeah.
But and like, what I want to do is like make it clear that they are treating all dead with reverence, regardless of who they killed. So if you are the enemy, if you are the sworn enemy, the guy might strike you down in battle and then immediately like lean down and like cover your eyes and do whatever, like
put the coins for the boat, man,
like that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Like the level of respect they have for the dead, they don't care who it was. And so when they're removing the like these bodies, they're doing it in a way where it's like they're giving like a funeral procession all the way back to the mausoleum.
True. And that's, they can see it as respect.
Yeah. Oh,
but respect is
disrespectful.
Relative.
Yeah, yeah. It's disrespectful from the perspective.
Right. Like, so I'm imagining the Nixian soldiers are coming in to Arbolus, which is a land of
trees.
Where people live in tree cities.
Yeah.
Their version of burial is to cremate, let's just say cremate people and turn them into ash.
Yeah.
And then use them as, mix them with soil to plant new trees and plant new cities. And so the Nixian soldiers are coming in and maybe finding these, like the dead forest, right? Like, and it's just, that's what it is. And they're uprooting the trees.
Yeah.
So they would see it as, like, we're expanding, we are treating you with respect, we are bringing them into the mausoleum and replanting them there.
Yeah.
To the Arbolians.
That's horrible.
Oh my God, you're uprooting them from death. Like, you're severing their connection to their community. Because, right? Like, that's actually a really cool practice that I just came up with on the fly, the replanting. I actually love that.
Yeah.
Dig down deep into that later. That's a cool as shit idea.
But you see
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I like that a lot. And again, taking good bowl. Moving to the next bowl on that, which is, what if they go and they don't know that these trees are born of the dead? So they aren't removing the long dead because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
And they're taking only the new dead. So that and then you start to get into the mechanism across the world of people trying to hide, like to change the way that their funeral rites to make sure that they can't be removed.
Mm.
So people start to come up with new approaches to be like, well, we won't bury our dead because we know they'll excavate those graves.
Right.
So we will do things like this. We will cremate them and use them in seedlings for trees, or we will cremate them and spread them in the sky, or we will,
that's cool,
like we will do something,
Viking funerals.
Yeah, we will do new, we will change our funeral rites to deny this removal of our dead.
Very natural reaction.
And like because the motivation for the Nixians maybe it is hyper religious. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But like,
maybe it's practical. Maybe they have necromancers that are reanimating the dead and using them as soldiers.
That's fucking wild. That's so gross. I hate it, but I love it. But
it's not even Halloween.
And well, because I was focusing so much on this idea of you go in this megastructure and thinking about looking up and seeing effectively a portal to the underworld. It is to the heavens. It is like they so believe that the only way that these souls can be at rest is to bury them together in a place where they can be found by the gods.
Right.
Or what
they perceive as a god, and maybe it's just a black hole.
Yeah, it could be anything. But like, they are of the belief that, like, they are doing, and much like anybody who's like crusading, they're like, we're doing this for your own good.
Right, 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 right.
But their perspective of that, like their thought of this is for your own good, is that your dead cannot be at peace because they can't be found unless they're with everybody else, because they're looking for like the concentration of the dead.
Mm.
The gods or whoever it is
if
looking.
They're too scattered, they won't be found.
They won't be found.
Lost dead. Yeah.
So they need to be congregated together in one spot because that's where the portal is. So they're saying this is like Noah's Ark. This is the place you need to be okay. And we will go make sure that that happens for your good.
It's loving. This is an act of mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's actually a really beautiful...
It creates a complex...
And I don't mean beautiful, like good loving.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
mean just like elegant, like...
Yeah. And, right? It's Crusaders.
It's Crusaders.
Yeah.
It's people doing it out of genuine belief.
Yeah.
Not adapting their beliefs to justify their actions.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It's, and in that way, it's
which is more fun in fantasy, I think.
I think it's more fun. It reminds me actually of the Chronicles of Riddick with the necromongers and the holy half dead and the underverse, which is all very cool world building.
Yeah.
Not executed the best, not terrible, but like,
yeah,
it's a little shticky, but it's still like,
yeah,
the phrase holy half dead to refer to their leader is
yeah.
great. The phrase underverse is great, right? Like, I mean, there are all these shticky things, but it sort of brushes on that.
I haven't seen Chronicles of Riddick, so
it's
yeah, fine.
It's a great popcorn movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm deep in, I'm getting all sorts of visuals, and of course it's all brutalist architecture.
Yeah. Well,
no, maybe it isn't. Maybe
I don't think it's brutalist.
No. That's what it immediately calls to mind.
Yeah,
but if you start thinking about it, like, you could also have it be very, if we're thinking Nick's Night, it could be very astral in design, you know, maybe a lot of flowing lines connecting, you know, sort of like you see the way that pulsars look in space.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe the pillar is something like the pillars. It looks in the distance. The core of it is something that looks like the pillars of creation, yeah. which James Webb Telescope just released a new picture of, and it's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, like the actual physical space, I think that's where you can really let a lot of creativity shine for like yeah. architecture, for art, because they've probably, you know, if it is taking the cultural significance that I think it is, mm-hmm. you'd go all out to make it look the part.
Yeah.
So it would be elaborate.
Sure, because this is, again, out of true belief, not
yeah.
retroactively changing beliefs to justify yeah. a very mundane desire.
Yeah. Now,
cool.
I do want to go back to your version. So taking the belief side, and then we'll go back to like everybody does this.
Yeah.
And you are creating a mega mausoleum as like a sign of military might and practicality that you needed the room.
Well, and it's not necessarily you're doing it deliberately. It's because everybody does this and yours is just
yeah.
way bigger than anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just evidence.
Yeah, yeah. But it could be deliberate to say we know we're going to win all these wars. We just need to, we're going to do it now. We're projecting our confidence
oh, yeah,
and cool. our belief in
yeah.
ourselves.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But like,
cool.
it's you know, it's whipping it out.
Yeah.
And saying we're
like
going to win.
Most megastructures are.
Yeah. But it is, and it is evidence-based because they are going to fill it up.
And they are filling it.
Yeah. But then you create a long-term dynamic of other, like as powers wax and wane,
mm-hmm.
they start raiding the mausoleums.
Mm.
And like the mega mausoleum is raided and emptied
mm.
over time because that, mm. and
yeah.
that society starts to crumble.
Yeah, could do that.
And as a side noodle that I wanted to pitch, you can add to anything.
Literally the Dead Empire.
You can literally add this to anything, to any megastructure, is the megastructure that was never finished, and which is common that megastructures won't mm-hmm. be finished, or appears to be finished, but it wasn't, mm-hmm. and people have misinterpreted its purpose because it was never finished.
Yeah, nice.
So
love
you
that.
You think this is like a great pyramid that is a tomb, but it turns out that they didn't finish the design. It's not a tomb, it's a weapon or whatever,
right.
you know, like,
or it's an engine that feeds off of life.
Yeah, it is something one step or 10 steps past that,
yeah.
but it's been misinterpreted because they just never finished it. So people are using it incorrectly, especially
yeah.
if you add in magic and you uh-huh. add in like the mystery. And like I've referenced in a previous episode in the blade itself,
mm-hmm.
They go into this
many episodes.
Yeah, I know. It's I they're great, and it's great building. But also, this is a really cool vibe of like when they go into this great tower that no one has ever really entered it for hundreds of years, and mm-hmm. you can't deviate from the path because you'll lose yourself. You become mad, and there's so much magic at play. So people mm-hmm. just have to go where they know, and it that opens it up to be like, well, the idea that people have figured out how to use this for one specific purpose,
mm-hmm.
and they are afraid to go a different direction to try to use it in a different way because it is people have died trying to do it before. But okay. That's the actual purpose. If they go right and they figure it out, that was the intent. The left one was needed to be done to make it the right one.
Did you see Titan AE back in the day?
No.
Criminally underrated movie. The crux of it is that it's about they're looking for a ship that's a world-making ship, and they find it, and inside it's got the DNA of every type of animal, every tree, every plant, everything on Earth.
Yeah.
Right? And imagine if you turned it on, it would create a planet.
Yeah.
And imagine if you found this and thought, oh, this is about saving a planet, only to discover later on that I'm focusing on this idea of a misunderstood.
Yeah.
To discover later on, this is actually a weapon.
Yeah.
Getting back to offensive architecture is that you send this thing into a solar system and then turn it on and it erupts, creating a new planet, but destroying other ones around it.
That's fucking wild.
Right? Like,
I love it.
That would be a great weapon.
Yeah.
An offensive architecture. So like that idea of something being misunderstood.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah. And you could apply that to both of these ideas, to another idea, to anything, just like the misunderstood megastructure, because it's likely to be misinterpreted.
Sure.
How much time have we spent as humans trying to figure out what Stonehenge was? You know, like,
do we even know Stonehenge?
Didn't we just decide it's like a calendar?
I think we decided, but that's not a guarantee.
Exactly. And this is the point.
Right.
Like, this is this is an important.
We were just talking about what the fuck the pyramids were.
Exactly. So, I think that's that idea. We can move on to a little bit of lightning round here.
Yeah, I dig.
Lightning round.
Did you know, Kyle, because I'm going first, did you know that when they redid the Star Wars canon, that they changed it so that the Death Star was actually based off of lightsaber technology?
No.
Yeah, so they did. That's why they were mining kyber crystals in Rogue One on the planet Jeddah. I had an idea for a megastructure that is a tower, a massive tower, massive, massive, massive tower.
Yeah.
That is, it's a massive wizard's tower. It is literally a gigantic magic wand that the wizard can use. It is built out of paranoia.
Yeah.
That this wizard maybe has conquered the planet, has whatever.
Yeah.
But it is made to defend the planet against any encroaching being, be it deity or alien.
Okay.
It is just a gigantic magic wand.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you?
Mine is just a tunnel through the Earth, through the planet, through the world. Pretty simple. And a large, perfectly cylindrical, perfectly masoned tunnel that is now inhabited and used as a passageway, and it's kind of it. It's a megastructure. A megastructure doesn't have to be a building. It just has to be a structure. Yeah, and the structure was they, for whatever reason, they decided to just bore through this. And it's the channel. It's whatever you want it to be. Like, but it is used for like everyday purposes and not just like a passageway.
Yeah.
It's become like a place to live as well. And it's like linking two major cities, or it's linking
two sides of the planet,
or it's linking an empire underneath an ocean so that they can easily get from one side to the other, whatever you want it to be.
Sure.
So that's it.
Kind of like a giant airport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Awesome. So what stuck on your wall this fine morning, Kyle?
I think it's the removal of the dead by the Nixians. I didn't think about that idea until we were in the moment. And I really like the idea of their conquering to remove the dead and bring them back, and excavating graves and like the fucked up desecrations, and
doing it out of mercy though.
Yeah. Like
what they perceive as to be mercy.
Yeah. Like the intent, and the reality are both really interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I think that's what stuck for me.
Yeah. I agree.
What stuck for you?
That, I'm just, the Nixians versus the Arbolians is sort of like,
Replanting the trees,
No, but it's just like, it's something that is like spawning shit in my head that I haven't really stopped thinking about. Like,
it's only been like 5 minutes.
So. I know, but I'm like, I've been thinking about it for the past 5 minutes. That's why I've been distracted. Yeah. Like forest cities, like what it looks, it's all,
it's running away.
Yeah. It's completely
running
away.
This is like the seeds of ideas that you get while doing.
It's the whole point of this podcast. It's great.
Yeah.
I am thinking about, I think what stuck for me is trying to figure out exactly. I like the Gluttony 2 being like the advanced version of the fixed Dyson sphere.
Yeah,
of the repurposed Dyson sphere.
The naming convention.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to the first one?
Yeah. But I also, you talked early on about trying to figure out exactly how they break it down, how they break down the planet. And I don't have an answer for that yet. And that's, so like that unknown is like a needle, like a splinter. It's like,
it's driving the world building curse of a thing that you can easily hand wave. But then as a world builder, you always want to have the actual rationale and the reason. And then it can become too much of the focal point and detract from other stuff.
Right.
We've all done this.
The allegory, the story, the point.
Yeah, where you're like, you're trying to be like, well, what's the mechanism?
Right.
I got to know them. And you're like, do you need to know the mechanism? Because you're probably going to get lost in that.
Just
and it's not going to be fun for you or for whoever's consuming your world.
Right.
I've done this. You've done this. Mm-hmm. It's just a reality. But you can have like, it can create the, like, they are harvesting the universal solvent from somewhere else.
Sure.
And that creates, like, the interesting dynamic. But if it's like, well, no one else is ever involved in what the mechanism is, so what does it matter?
Right. But it's also one of the fun parts. It's like, think it's like the that article that came out years ago about what would blowing up the Death Star cost the galactic economy.
Uh-huh.
And like they calculated the cost of the labor, all of the different space contractors, all that stuff.
What was the total? Do you remember?
I forget. It was some absurd number. It was trillions of credits or something. I forget. But it was just, it's like, that's the fun of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, is you create a thing and then leave it and let other people build on it and kind of flesh it out for you. So that's
the point of this podcast.
Also the point of this podcast. Yes, exactly.
Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you.
Thanks for listening.
Emails in the show notes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.